always blessed to be able to come together as a family. Always blessed to see that we have the same hope, amen? Where we still depend on Jesus to be our guide and our leader and to continue moving us forward. And brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time where we need to be coming closer to God and closer to one another, it is now. Yes? It's now. And so as a pastoral team, we've planned to do a series this summer on family. And we've decided that if there's something that's more important than anything we might possess, and that could be properties or bank account or knowledge that we cherish and we use to do the things that we do. What we treasure the most is family, children, parents, friends, uncle, aunts. That those are the people that we care about, that matter. That we would give anything to see them with Jesus. Amen? And I know that you and I and many of us here are praying that this family that we have, be it church family, be it our family that we cherish so much, we long to see them all having a relationship with Jesus. And I believe that the Word of God, as we study it, these laws, these precepts that God has given us, are a revelation of His love. And this love is demonstrated in the freedom that God gives us to choose that which is good, that which helps us stay together, that which helps us grow in our relationships with one another. So as I begin this sermon that I've entitled Rules, Who Needs Them? We all need them, amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the opportunity that you give us to study it, and once again to take and glean these precious principles that we might learn more about who you are and how much you care about each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was preparing for today's sermon, thinking about rules, I mean, we live with them. I mean, we drove here to church following, hopefully, the rules. Amen? And we were praying also probably that the people around us were also following, you know, the rules, that they could stay safe and that we could also be safe. Yes? These rules, these laws that we see at school, at work, at church, they are there to protect us. They are there to keep us safe. And we know what happens when rules are not followed. There's all of a sudden something called tension, problems. And not too long ago, we saw this incredible story of these kids who went into a cave, yes, with their coach. And the signs were there warning during this season, the rainy season, this cave can get flooded. And we saw how these rescuers risked their lives to bring these children and their coach out of this cave. We understand that the importance of following precepts and rules and laws. And yet, we all find it difficult. I don't know about you, but it's not easy. It's not something that always comes natural to us. And as I was studying book of Deuteronomy, I find that God explicitly shares with us some of the reasons why he would like us to follow these precepts. And if I understand God's plan for his children, his people, you and I, and those who have come to know him through his word, I find, brothers and sisters, that he would like to see you prosper. Amen? He would like to see you do well. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, if we start with verse 5, where Moses, speaking to the people, said, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that God is so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" This was the second time Moses was sharing with the children of Israel God's covenant, God's Decalogue, God's 10 words, inviting them into a covenant relationship, inviting them to trust God. God wanted their nation, this beautiful nation called Israel, to be a nation that would be a blessing to all those around them. 2 weeks ago, I shared with the church some of the principles that we can find in the story of the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. And I shared some of the beautiful principles that we can draw from this chapter. And I'm going to ask Isaiah if he could please put it up on a screen for me. And these principles, I believe, brothers and sisters, are there so that we as a church, so that we as a community, so that we as a nation, so that we as a world can reap the benefits that God has for each one of us. The first principle that we found there in that beautiful garden is that God loves beauty. Amen? He loves beauty, and he wants home to be a beautiful place, a place where we can find beautiful things to eat as well. Amen? And this was this garden that God had made for Adam and Eve. This garden was a place that was to be also a place of resources. Amen? There was this river that flowed from the midst of the garden and would flow not just within the garden, but would go outside of the garden, outside of the boundaries of this garden, and would flow and fill the other places as well. We also have God gave Adam and Eve responsibilities and work to do. And praise God that there are things that we can do at home, amen? A part that we can play at home. And God gave Adam the responsibility of taking care of this beautiful garden and gave it the responsibility to serve that which was in this garden. God gave Adam and Eve instructions, and this instruction was very clear. You can eat of all the trees of this garden, but of this one tree you will not eat, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The next slide, Isai, thank you. This was a place for fellowship and family, and God provided an ideal spouse for Adam, amen? Provided someone who would be there with him and with whom he could talk and share and plan things for the future. And this garden was supposed to be a safe and secure place. Yes? The Bible tells us they were naked and they were not ashamed. It was safe. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 tells us that it was a place where they could find rest. And praise God, we can find rest in him. Amen? And I don't know about you, but after a long day of working, we enjoy coming home and just knowing that it's a place where we can find peace and rest. And God wanted home to be all that. And he wants your home and my home to be all that. Amen? And therefore, brothers and sisters, he has given us clear instructions. These commandments, an expression of God's love, an expression of the freedom that he gives us to relate to him and also how to relate to one another. Our scripture reading found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that Sophia read invites us again to heed to these commandments, to listen to them, to observe them. For God wants to prosper us, do what will make us happy. In verse 4, we find, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Brothers and sisters, the church is a great place to learn about the Word of God. School, Christian school, is a great place to learn about the Word of God. But there's no place like home. No place like home. Where you can talk about it in the morning, at noon, in the evening. You might think, "Pastor Sam, well, how do you talk about the same thing over and over and over again? How do you share these principles found in the Word of God of loving God with all your strength, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself?" Well, praise God for home, where these principles can be put into practice. Because it's not enough to know about it. And Adventists, we know about the law, amen? But it's important that we practice it. And I praise God for my parents. And specifically, I praise God for Mom. You see, growing up, one of my, I would say, biggest difficulties was to listen. Another word for listening is being obedient. And you might think, "There's no way, Pastor Sam, you were disobedient." Oh, yes, I was. And you can say, "Well, it was little things." Well, little things then become big things later. Yes? And Mom knew that. And she prayed and she said, "God, help me. Because I don't have the tools. Samuel didn't come with a manual saying what to do, when, no explanation." And my mom, having this son at age 22 felt the responsibility and my dad did too. So together they said, let's make this work. A year, 11 months later, I had a sister, Judah. I kind of know what that feels like. All of a sudden there was competition. Mom was paying a lot of attention to my sister. And Dad was studying hard, trying to accomplish his master's degree and then later on a PhD. But I praise God that my parents did everything they could do to let my sister and I know how much they loved us. And yes, sometimes they did this by applying the rules, yes? Consequences. And I wasn't always happy about these consequences, but grateful that they always did this with love. How many of you know this book, Boundaries? Some of you read it? Amen. Powerful book. If you have an opportunity to, it's an easy read. This book has lots of information regarding principles. And in chapter 5, he has a section called 10 Laws of Boundaries. And first of all, I would like to define what a boundary is. And I'm going to ask Lyle if you could press there the next slide so that I could share. A boundary is a personal property line that marks those things for which we are responsible. In other words, boundaries define who we are and who we are not. That's an incredible definition. Boundaries, all that is within these boundaries, my responsibility. What's without those boundaries? Somebody else's responsibilities. And knowing that difference is of the utmost importance. Can we go to the next slide? Thank you. I'm only going to touch on 5 laws because of time. But the first law that he talks about is the law of cause and effect. In fact, he calls it the law of sowing and reaping. We will reap what we sow. And I did not want to believe that, brothers and sisters. But my mother tried to teach me this in many different ways. If I got in trouble, which happened often, the consequences were clear. I can't do this. One of them was go outside and play with my friends. And this began at a very early age, 2, 3, 4 years old. As a 2, 3, 4 years old boy, I like to explore, right? So I was always walking around. My mom, always looking where I was, invited me to stick close to her. Especially if we were at the store, if we were at the supermarket, she would say, Samuel, I need you to stay right next to me. If she would turn her head to look at the lettuce, tomatoes, all of a sudden, Samuel was gone. So you had mom now having to use this time to look for Samuel in this strange place with people she didn't know. So mom would constantly remind me, Samuel, it's important that you stay close to me, that you stay where I can see you. My sister, on the other hand, she saw in all the trouble that I got into, yes? So she's like, I'm not going to go far from mom. I'm going to stay right next to her every time we go to the store. I'm going to stay close to where she can see me. The law of sowing and reaping. I soon learned that if I did not listen to what my mother said or my father said, there were consequences. And there's some things that we can do as human beings to prevent this law from taking place. If I let go of this book, I can catch it again, right? But we know if I don't catch it, it's going to what? Drop. And I learned that at a very early age, that my actions have a reaction. Or ask my sister. Every time I teased her, guess what happened? She reacted. And then my mom would say, Sam, what did you do to your sister? Well, she did this to me. But who started? Little by little, she continued to share this day in and day out. In the morning when she got up, at night when she went to sleep. When we went to church, when we came back from church, she consistently continued to implement these principles, these laws, brothers and sisters. I thought my mom would one day get tired of doing this. 15, 16 years old. Was she still talking? Was she still sharing? She was still consistently doing this. In Spanish, we have a saying, parecía un CD rayado. Yes, she seemed like she was a record that had been scratched. Yes, just keeps repeating it over and over and over again. Praise God for moms and their patience, yes? And that they care enough to keep sharing what they know. The law of responsibility. My mom said, Samuel, you have responsibilities. When you are part of this household, these are your responsibilities. At first, it was staying close to mom. That was my responsibility. As I grew older, it was making sure my bed was made. And my sister and I, we shared a room. I think I was 5, 6, 7 years old when I got my first room. We shared a room. And my sister's side was always nice and neat. Amen for sisters, yes? My side wasn't as nice and neat. And my mom would remind me, you have these responsibilities, Samuel. It's important you cooperate. Samuel, you look at the yard, it's growing. You have these now other responsibilities. And as I continued to grow, brothers and sisters, I continued to learn more about the part that I had to play in this place called family, a place that where I felt safe, a place where I was happy, but a place where I also had duties and responsibilities to make it work. And so I learned that there is such a thing as the law of responsibility. And this law of responsibility includes loving others. Amen? Includes loving others. When we got our separate rooms, I remember my sister having her, the first thing she would do is just make her bed, make sure everything in that room was in order. The first thing I would do when I would get up in bed was just be there, you know? And then mom's like, hey, it's time to get out of bed. And I thought, oh, okay, it's school time. And before you leave, remember, you have to make your bed. And okay, I'll do that too. And got distracted with a million things. I would look over at my sister's room. It was so clean. And I thought, wow, that looks like a really nice place to sit. And my sister didn't think that was a good idea. And she would let me know, this is my room. It's important that you respect it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty hurtful. We're a family here. We share things. I mean, for years, we were living in a two-bedroom apartment. And so Mom would say, Samuel, your sister's right. This is her room. And she has the right to ask you not to, you know, sit on her bed. And little by little, my mom used these opportunities to share with me time in and time out the law of responsibility, the law of respect. Law number three here, the law of power. I soon learned, brothers and sisters, that I was powerless. Dad and Mom had all the power, yes? Whatever they said, it was law. And sometimes my mom would recognize that she had made a mistake. She would say, I'm sorry, I said no. You can't do this. You can't go outside. But I said no. But Mom, you thought it was going to be something different, but this is what I meant to say. And she would still remind me, I said no. So I learned that sometimes you can make alliances with powerful people. And when my mom would say no, I don't know how that happened, but I found out I could go to my dad and say, Dad, guess what? I have this great idea. And Dad would say, what's your great idea? Can I go outside and play? And Dad would look at me and say, sure. That happened once, brothers and sisters. I went out, played. When I got back, I saw both my dad and mom were very serious. And I didn't know what had happened, but I just kind of just let it be. And the next day when I tried this again, Mom, can I go outside and play? Nope. Okay. Dad, can I go outside and play? And Dad said, why don't you ask your mom? And I'd say, Dad, I asked Mom, and she said no. Then it's no. It's true that because of sin, we feel powerless in so many ways, brothers and sisters. And we struggle. How many of us struggle? I think we can all, and it doesn't matter how old we are, we struggle. But praise the Lord that He is the one who has ultimate power. Amen? And Dr. Cloud shares here a few things that we have power over. And things that my mom shared with me and taught me. You have the power to agree with the truth about your problems. I have the power to recognize where my weaknesses are. I have the power to confess them, amen? And share them with God. I have the power to submit my inabilities to God. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? When we don't know what to do, when we are struggling with something, we can submit this to a loving Father. I have the power to search and ask God and others to reveal more and more about what is within my boundaries. Sam, maybe you haven't noticed, but you actually can do this. And praise God for parents who believe in their children, yes? We don't always know what we want to do. We don't always know what we can do. And our parents are there saying, you can do this and more, and encourage us. I have the power to humble myself and ask God and others to help with my developmental injuries or leftover childhood needs. I have the power to seek out those that I have injured and make amends. Is that power, brothers and sisters? That's incredible power. Power to forgive, power to be forgiven, power to restore relationships. And that's something that we can all experience at home, like no other place, where we can learn this. And if we haven't learned it, can we still learn it? We can still learn it. The law of respect, as I was sharing with my sister there, my mom shared with me the importance of respecting the decisions of my sister. It's okay to say no, yes? Yes, it hurt me, and then I felt like, wow. But did it harm me? No, it didn't harm me. It made me a little uncomfortable. It made me a little sad. My pride was a little bit hurt. But it didn't harm me. And if I give permission other people to say no to me, that means they are giving me also permission to say no to them. Amen? It's okay to say no. And especially in the world that we live in, it's okay to say no. It is. Our real concern, he writes, with others should not be, are they doing what I would do or what I want them to do? But are they really making a free choice? Are they choosing for themselves? And that's the kind of freedom God gives us, isn't it? He gives us that kind of freedom. And the Bible invites us to respect one another, to love one another. Law number 5, the law of motivation. As a kid, I wanted something and I would figure it out how to get it. Yes? And my parents, I think they were always 2 or 3 or 4 steps ahead of me. Amen? You have to, right, parents? You have to be ahead of the game. Because children have this incredible ability to read dad and mom and to know exactly when and how to get what they want. But many times we are motivated by the wrong things, yes? And one of these wrong things is fear. And yes, we do many things out of fear of losing a job. We do many things out of fear of what would happen if all of a sudden I'm not here to provide for the family. And there are millions of things that we fear. But this should not be the driving motivation. Fear of loss of love or abandonment, or fear of others' anger, or the fear of loneliness. He writes, some people give in to others because they feel that that will win love and end their loneliness. Fear of losing the good me inside. Yes, we are made to love. As a result, when we are not loving, we are in pain. And many people cannot say, I love you, and I do not want to do that. Guilt. Many people, their motivation is guilt, and they are trying to do enough good things to overcome the guilt inside and feel good. Payback, approval, over identification with the other's loss. Brothers and sisters, I praise God for a mom who was always open and willing to talk to her children. I learned these things from her. I think she completed 6th grade elementary school when communism came to Cuba. She couldn't go to school. To go to school with them, and you had to deny God as the supreme being. So she came to the United States without a high school diploma. She got it when I was finishing high school. She completed that. But a smart, smart lady, gifted in so many ways, transparent, honest, loving. And she always had this way of saying, "Hey, Sam, how was school today? It was good. And what did you do?" Normal stuff. I didn't want to share. I was 12, 13, 14. I didn't feel comfortable sharing what was going on. I was 17, 18, 19. Wow, I had a lot of questions. Especially when you're in school and all of a sudden you have girls inviting you to go out for a walk. Oh. And I was able to talk to my mom openly about everything. And I knew that if there was somebody who cared and loved me so much as she did, we could talk. I could share. I could be myself. I didn't have to be afraid. And yes, my mom is someone who likes to share. So I had to be careful sometimes. And she explained it this way: "Sam, if you don't want something to be known, or if you want something to be known, tell your best friend. If you don't want something to be known, keep it to yourself." Today I'm 45, and she is 69, or 68. My dad's 72. And I love to go home. I love to talk with them, share, and continue to learn, brothers and sisters. If I understand what Deuteronomy 6 is telling us, there's no better place to learn these principles, these laws, than home. Amen? There's no better place to find out how it all works than home. And yes, many of us maybe come from a different situation, a different experience, and a different... But can God still bring restoration into our lives? Amen? Can God still help us fulfill some of these laws? The law of cause and effect, is that something we can still learn? Is the law of responsibility something we can still learn? Is the law of power, and in recognizing that, yes, I am powerless, but I do have power over certain decisions. The law of respect, the law of motivation, and 5 other laws that help in building stronger families, stronger relationships, and thus a stronger church and a stronger community. Is that God's plan? That's God's plan. It's simple. By God's grace, this church and these families, Pastor Greg, myself, and I know that Pastor Jeff is praying for you. We understand it's not easy, but with God's help, it's possible to succeed, amen? And to prosper, and to be happy, and to have safe relationships. It's possible if we trust what God has said in His Word. I can't wait to see what God's going to continue to do in each one of our families. Amen? He has big plans, brothers and sisters. He wants to see love like it has never been seen before. He wants to see relationships restored. Forgiveness being the experience of all of God's children. And by God's grace, very soon, one day, get to meet the one who wrote these instructions. The one who made a beautiful garden called Eden. The one who made you and me. Amen. This moment, we'd like to invite the congregation to stand as we sing our closing hymn.